This is the Saddled Stallion podcast, where men are equipped and encouraged to understand their wiring, clarify their mission, and find purpose along the path to its fulfillment. I'm your host, Chad Kanier, and I'm stoked to have you here. Let's roll. Hey guys, this message is a little bit different. I am focusing this message on a high school football coach of mine. And it's not just that. I'm working to honor him with this. I'm also working to encourage him. I was recently notified via email that he is leaving his coaching career, I believe. And he mentioned that there's a platform that has been built, is being built. Anyway, for him to leverage and for him to reach people. Let me tell you a little bit about Coach Don Bartel. I haven't spoken with him since high school. I'm 32 years old, okay? So I haven't spoken with this guy in 15 years. Wow, that's crazy. And so this will come as a little bit of a surprise to him and pretty much anybody who went to high school with me. I don't know if anyone listens that went to high school with me. Anyway, Coach Don Bartel was a breath of fresh air for me as a football player in high school. We had not had a competitive program for a long time. I was becoming a senior. We were notified that there were some new coaches coming in from, honestly, our rival school, and they were always ranked in state and stuff like that. So we were really excited. We were like, these guys are going to come in and change our program. And, you know, it's like a clearing of the deck. You get to like fight for the position that you want, right? Because there's no longer those coaches there that have seen you since you were 12 years old. Fresh set of eyes are coming in and looking at your skill set. And so none of these preconceived notions are there. It's kind of a clean slate. And I remember being very clear with Coach Gene Dales, the new head coach, and say, I want to be a middle linebacker, and I've only played center on offense, but I've been a linebacker my whole life, and I want to be a starting middle linebacker for you. And sure enough, I was a starting middle linebacker for him as a senior, which was an amazing opportunity for me. It was very, very fun. If you listen to one of my other episodes, Cry Like a Man, I recount one of the most emotional moments in my life is when actually we lost our final game. I want you guys to know that it's a coincidence that I talk so much about high school football, okay? I realize that life is bigger than high school sports, okay? I draw from these things, and it's kind of random that I'm talking about these things so much. I'm not obsessed with my high school football career, if you want to call it a career sport I played when I was 17, 18 years old. But for some reason, it just keeps coming up. And it is a big part of how I grew up. And I kind of have a middle linebacker mentality on life, kind of aggressive at times. I know what's going on. I know what other people on my team are responsible for. I'm not shy about holding them accountable. Anyway, Coach Don Bartel was awesome. He was our defensive coordinator, and he came in. He's this young guy, good-looking dude, wears a lot of Nike, you know, just very confident guy, very articulate guy. And I immediately just like had a ton of respect for Coach Bartel, and I just loved him. He was infectious as a leader, as a communicator. He had a boldness about him that was like, whoa. And so this episode is really all about Coach Bartel and what he taught me. And there's a message for you in here too, but it's also a message for him as he starts this new career, this new journey, whatever it may be. I don't know the details. I want to reconnect with you, Coach, but I want to encourage him, and I want him to be able to listen to this if and when the road ever gets hard, if and when he's ever doubting his new path, because just based on the limited data that I have around what he's trying to pursue, I could not be more excited, and a feeling of just that's exactly what needs to happen, and that's exactly what he is called to do in my mind. And so I want him to hear from a guy who he has had a big impact on, probably a much larger impact than coach even realizes as a form of encouragement and something that he can maybe bookmark and return to later. This one's called Digging Ditches, and there's a reason for that. I have three encounters with Coach Bartel. I mean, obviously, he was my football coach. I'm a very strong-willed individual. I mean, take me, what you know about me by listening to me, and then take it back 15 years and add a bunch of like high school popularity and academic honors and two older sisters who are all world and everything. And so like a lot of confidence and arrogance and naivety and wow. I mean, like it must have been a lot to deal with me. Okay. But I had a lot of encounters. We clashed a little bit as men do. I would challenge boundaries, if you will. There are three stories, though, about Coach Bartel. Three things he did, not just stories, but encounters and themes with Coach Bartel. One, ditch digging, okay? Coach Bartel was always quoting this. He would always say, you know what? He was quoting something else, and I can't remember what he was quoting. I think he might have been quoting something that a mentor of his had told him at some point in his life, but it really meant a lot to him, and he would make deep eye contact with you, like kind of terrifying eye contact with you, like, oh, he's looking into my soul, not my retinas, like my soul. And he would say, you know, the world needs ditch diggers too. He would say that all the time. He would say, you know, the world needs ditch diggers too. And he'd kind of like pause afterwards and stare into your soul. And you're like, I mean, yeah, like, but, and you're young, you don't get it. But I look back now and I so get it. See, based on Coach Bartel's capabilities, his articulate nature, his infectious leadership style, swagged out, he did not need to be a high school football coach. He was clearly choosing to be a high school football coach. And I don't know how God got him there. I don't know his whole path, but I know that the second we met him, we were kind of like, where the hell is this guy from? It's like a world-renowned motivational speaker and like life coach. Oh, I hate that term, but personality and like success coach, I'll say that instead, comes into your high school and he's like, I'm going to be your defensive coordinator. And we're living in Sammamish, Washington, a deep suburb of Seattle, Washington, 30 minutes outside Seattle, suburbia. And he's like, I'm stoked about being your high school football coach. We all felt that he was above and beyond what we would expect a high school football coach to be. And listen, I'm going to prove to you in this message that that perception of a high school teacher, a high school football coach, means nothing. Coach Bartel is the embodiment of living bigger, being way bigger than your job title, not being restricted by what your LinkedIn profile says or what your business card says or what your income is. He is the embodiment of that. And it all stems from that philosophy of, you know, the world needs ditch diggers too. You know, the world needs high school football coaches too. You know, the world needs janitors too. And if we could all embrace that, that who you are has nothing to do with what you do for a living and how popular you are. You can be a leader as an intern at a company. You can be a winner, a motivator, an idea challenger, a spark plug in any environment. We are so obsessed with titles and what do our profiles say. We need to focus more on what we say, what we do, who we impact, the impact we can have in our circles, where we've been placed. Whether it's a football team at a high school in suburbia or you're one of the lead lawyers in a downtown law firm in New York City, your impact might look a little bit different. It might have a different complexion, but it is not restricted by and it is not defined by your station. And Coach Bartel was the embodiment of that. I loved that. You know, the world needs ditch diggers too. In that, there was this strength in his humility. He taught me that. The lesson there is that there was strength in his humility. He took a humble job, but my Lord, he was strong in that job. And he was even strong in his adoption of that philosophy of that, hey, the world needs ditch diggers too. I'm going to dig these ditches for you, for other students, for other football players, for the parents that are involved in this program, for the other coaches and the teachers. I'm the ditch digger. And I'll circle back on that. He dug ditches like a beast, like a boss. Hey guys, you might already know this, but I am not in the business of providing a random message to a random audience. I am in the business of providing meaningful, impactful messages to those seeking more purpose in life. I need your help to do this. I'm inviting you right now to engage in a dialogue with me and to send me ideas, send me thoughts, send me questions, send me issues that you're struggling with that I can speak about on this podcast. Go to my website, chadcanyer.com, it's my name, .com. Go to the contact page, fill out a form. I will get an email and I pledge to get back to you within a week and engage in a dialogue around that topic. I cannot guarantee that I will speak on that on the air because I might be the dumbest guy in the world on that subject, but God knows I will do my very best to engage with you and to provide value, not just to you, but to every single listener, because that is why I'm doing this. Help me make this more purposeful. I TA'd for him. I was a teacher's assistant for Coach Bartel. I just wanted to be around the guy. I've always wanted to TA. I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. I get to like sit at the front of the class and feel like I'm in my own world. I'm like, yeah, I'm like connected with the teacher. It's kind of a thing. Really, it was just like, hey, coach, can I grade papers for you? He's like, yeah, sure, I need help. Very no big deal. But felt super cool. You know how high school is. You're just looking for any upgrade. And so anyway, I'd grade papers for him. And I don't even remember what the class was. I think he taught history. I would grade papers for all these students and, you know, none of it was very impressive, like what they'd say on exams and in their homework and stuff like that. But I'd give him like a 6 out of 10. Like if it was kind of impressive, I'd be like, that's pretty good. I'm going to give him like an 8. It's pretty good. You know, if the paper was fully complete, you're starting at a 5 for me. If you finished the assignment, you get a 5 in my mind. Right. And I'm like a high school kid. I have no barometer of what a great paper is. You know what I mean? And he got in front of me one time and he's like, what you're doing to these students is sick. He was like that. He was so freaking direct. And he's like, yeah, I mean, if you want to breed a generation of losers, you can keep giving 6s and 7s and 8s and 9s. Chad, you got to be harder on these people. How are they going to learn that what they're putting out is not acceptable if you keep giving him 6s and 7s? Chad, you might only be happy with a 9 or a 10, because I was like an A student. He knew that. But these kids, and they might be happy with a 6 or 7, and they're just going to keep floating by and getting 6s and 7s their whole life when they really should be getting 3s and 4s, and you should be putting pressure on them so that they feel motivated to get better. It's a high school history teacher slash my defensive coordinator slash life mentor now, 15 years later, preaching at me. And I'm like, okay, I'll be harder, you know? Super funny. And I remember telling my friends about that. And they were like, well, yeah, like, no shit. It's Coach Bartel. I learned that he cared more about preparing us for the future than being popular. And he was very popular. All the girls thought he was so cute. He was like that teacher. All the guys just wanted to be around him. He was motivating. He was fun. He was engaging, right? He's like the coolest teacher, right? He was like, if there was a popularity contest, he would have won it. But he didn't care about any of that. He didn't care about being liked. He wanted to be useful. He wanted to prepare us for life. And I'm so grateful that I had a man in my life when I was 17 years old who cared more about preparing me for life, the realities of life, than making me happy. If you like certain teachers just because they're super nice to you, wait till you're an adult and you have taxes and you have the threat of unemployment. And you have dependents that you have to put food on the table for. You're not getting degrees for extra income. You're getting a college degree for a job. You will be way more grateful for the teachers who, yes, encouraged you, of course. But there's multiple different forms of encouragement. Life is the greatest teacher. And so the best human teachers allow life to teach students. And they do their best to simulate life in the teaching and the grading and the encouraging of those students. They let life, the realities of life, which are hard, be the teacher. Coach Bartel was one of those teachers. He's like, if I'm too soft on you now, the world will feel just a little bit harder when you're actually out of it and no longer under my care. Cared more about preparing us than winning some popularity contest. The result? Super popular, because we all knew he loved us and he cared. Listen, we, and I say we because it was primary, it was like the culture of the team. We got really into looking cool on the football field. I mean, every young kid does this. We had new jerseys that year because we got more booster funding and stuff like that. So we finally felt swagged out on the football field, which actually does play a role in your confidence and just your happiness on the football field. It does matter. And we got really into like taping our shoes different colors and just looking cool and buying the gear. And I mean, some kids even had visors. I mean, we live in Seattle, Washington. Okay. It's sunny like 9 days a year. We play at night, night. It's usually raining when we play, and you're going to put a visor on your football helmet. We got a little carried away. Okay. We got a little carried away. And honestly, I was one of the ringleaders on getting carried away. I just thought it was fun. He pulled me aside at practice one day and he's like, hey man, everyone knows you're good and all that across the league. But when I'm talking to other coaches, there's kind of a question about whether you care more about how you look or how you play. And I kind of shook it off. I kind of was like, all right, whatever. Oh, it freaking pissed me off. It freaking pissed me off. And he knew it. And I was about 50-50 on whether it was really a question that the other coaches in the league were throwing around. I mean, that would never happen. Who would sit around and gossip about a 17-year-old kid? I mean, that's kind of pathetic. I was 50-50 on that happening, or really Bartel just being very creative in his coaching. Because if he comes out and just says, hey, Kanyer, what the hell, man? You care more about your little giddy-up than how you play in the game. Then I'm going to take it as an attack, and it's going to cut into our relationship. He was teaching me something there, whether he knew it or not. Now, hey, I forgive you for lying to me, by the way. But he was teaching me with some tact. He cared about our relationship. I was one of the team captains. I was the defensive play caller. So like he would give me the play call from the sideline and I would tell the team, right? So we had that connection and I was the leader of our defense. I was a senior, yada, yada, yada. And so our relationship mattered. And I don't think he wanted to erode that relationship with some comment, but he did want to get his point across that I was caring about the little stupid, fanciful distractions that have nothing to do with playing really good football. It's something I needed to hear, but the way he positioned it was strategic. He was smart about it. He taught me, but with some tact. He massaged it. It was strategic. Coach Bartel dug the ditches. He didn't just go and work in the ditch. He dug being there. He owned that life, that role, that mentality of like, I'm here to serve and I can still be who I am. I'm digging the ditch. I'm digging the ditch. I'm digging in and I'm digging this because I can still be me. He did not let being a high school football coach at some random school define him. He knew he defined him. He loved it. He lived it. Where he was could never hinder his impact. He used his opportunity to love and to serve and to coach and to prod and to put pressure on me so that I would grow. I'm grateful for that. He used his station to have an impact, and all he had to do was embrace who he was and who he decided he was going to be. Lived out the values that he decided were important to him in the sphere that he was placed. That's all we have to do. It is so simple. We get so worked up about where we are not and what we are not and whether we are X or Y or Z in order to be qualified to make an impact. Let me tell you, men, you can have more impact in your neighborhood than you ever could as the most rich, successful, articulate, sought-after business guy, lawyer, doctor, etc., etc. It just depends on what kind of impact you're talking about. But honestly, the impacts that really matter to people, you have everything in your bag right now to make those kind of impacts on people. You don't need the accolades. You don't need the followers. You don't need the popularity. You don't need the money. You don't need the plastic surgery. You don't need to have a six pack. You don't. You don't need to have the addiction. You don't need to go to Las Vegas every 6 months just to fit in and feel like you can still be cool, one of the guys, feel young. You don't have to take drugs to stay young and to look fit and to look healthy. You don't have to join weird online groups so that you have a sense of community. You have a sense of community in your community. You can leave your house and have community. There's so many things you don't need to be doing that you think you need to be doing to have impact. And there are so many things right in front of you that you're not doing because you are so focused on things that are up in the air and out on the internet and not in your current landscape view that you think you need to have, quote unquote, impact, as well as happiness, as well as purpose, as well as a sense of duty. Coach Bartel created a culture naturally. I think the greatest thing that he gave me is that he showed us that being passionate as a man had a place. It wasn't immature. It could be purposeful. It wasn't erratic or sporadic. It was targeted and focused and dedicated and channeled and intentional. He showed us that that passionate place could be respectable. It could be motivating. It could be empowering. Not just to that person, not just to Coach Bartel, but to us, to a community of students, of football players. He showed us what purposeful manhood was. Coach Bartel, I'm grateful for you, sir. I want to reconnect with you, by the way, which I will. I'm going to send you the link to this when I post it. And I hope it's a present to you. I hope it's a surprise to you. I hope it's an encouragement to you, not just now, but in the future. I believe in you, man. I believe in you, and not just because I'm saying that, but because I have felt your impact in my life. And other young men and women need to hear from you and men like you. One question for you before I go. What's right in front of you? Take your job title, throw it away in your mind. Doesn't matter. Take the money that you make and all the worry about how you can make more and should I be saving and what should I be putting my money towards? Take all that and throw it away in your mind. What is right in front of you an opportunity to be purposeful, to love someone, to encourage someone, to correct someone in love because you care, because you actually want to teach them more about what the real world is like. Who is someone in your world who needs love? Who is someone in your world who needs someone to be direct with them? Who is someone in your world who you need to care a little bit more about preparing them for what's next than staying on their happy, nice list? Who is someone in your world you could teach with some strategy, with some tact? And I guess the most important question, are you willing to dig ditches? This is a hard question, guys. It's hard for me as I ask it. It is so hard to be willing to be the ditch digger. To be the guy who takes notes in a meeting. That's hard. It's humbling. Do it with passion. Own it. Love it. Live it. Take out the trash. Sweep the floor. Dig the ditch. There is a power in humility. Bold humility. And if anyone ever says, hey, why are you so willing to do the dumb stuff? Don't you have that degree? Or aren't you working on this team? Or, you know, you're too late in your career to be doing that stuff. Or, oh man, you're really looking out for the little guy. You should be focused on bigger things, right? Just look them right in the freaking eye. Channel Coach Bartell and say, you know, the world needs ditch diggers too. And they will remember that moment with you way more than they will remember 10, 15, 50 motivational speeches from the next guy who thinks he's all that and wants to celebrate himself. There is a strength and a legacy in humility. I'm talking about the guy that did that right now, 15 years later. That's it, guys. Let's get better.
Thanks for listening to the Saddled Stallion podcast. That's it, guys. Be strong, be humble, walk in purposeful manhood.